ABC Listen. Podcasts, radio, news, music and more.
From an Ipswich fish and chip shop to the epicentre of Australian politics.
Please explain.
Pauline Hanson is making One Nation.
This is the unlikely story of One Nation.
Well, I'm back.
Is it a passing protest vote or a permanent realignment of Australian politics?
Whether you love her or hate her, truth is stranger than fiction.
The making of One Nation. To hear the full series, search for The Making of One Nation on ABC Listen.
It's happened. After years of warnings, preparations and surveillance, H5N1 bird flu is officially here on the Australian continent. As the number of confirmed detections in wild birds starts to rise, officials and experts are saying the risk to human health is currently low. But what about our Aussie birds and wildlife? If the virus is here to stay, what does that mean for their future? This is Lab Notes from ABC Radio National. I'm Jonathan Webb. And today I'm joined by Dr. Tiggy Grillo, a veterinary scientist who is also the Chief Operating Officer of Wildlife Health Australia. Hi, Tiggy.
Hi, Jonathan. Thank you very much for having me.
Very quickly and simply, for the start, what is bird flu, this H5N1 we're talking about, and why is it a big deal?
This particular thing, bird flu, is a virus. It's a virus that can transmit through various different means. This particular clade is clade 2.3.4.4b, and it's an unprecedented virus in that it's impacted over 300 wildlife species, both wild birds as well as wild mammals. And so that's pretty unprecedented. Prior to this strain, this particular clade of H5, the number of wild bird species was, you know, less than 50.
Wow. All with this one sort of particular clade or strain, right?
Yeah.
So we've seen stories of huge amounts of mortality in birds and sometimes other species in other parts of the world. Has it wiped anything out, or what sort of proportions of animals have we lost in other parts of the world?
Look, as examples, in South America, about 40% of the Peruvian pelicans were impacted.
Gosh.
Resulting from this particular strain. And the other large impact that we've seen is on the southern elephant seals down in the Southern Ocean. And that's actually resulted in there being an uplisting of their status through the IUCN Red List. So they're absolutely devastating impacts on that population, with a large number of pups that died the season that it first arrived. And that's been very concerning for many people who have been looking after the conservation of those species for many years.
So it started with a very small number of cases on the south coast of Western Australia. Is there any going back from this point, Tiggy, or do you think bird flu might be here in Australia to stay?
Look, that's something that the experts are currently looking at in very much detail. These are two vagrant species of bird. They are likely to have come potentially from the Southern Ocean. The birds that are navigating around the Southern Hemisphere don't tend to frequent Australian mainland. Heard Island, for example, where we have confirmed this week the devastation that it's had, where it was detected last October, it's thousands of kilometres away.
Mm.
So for those bird species to potentially be there, be infected and bring it towards Australia, it's quite a long distance. So we thought it was still quite a long way for that to happen. But weather is one thing that can change patterns of birds,
right,
and can bring them closer to shore, perhaps where they wouldn't always go.
Okay. And do we think weather might have been part of what drove this event to happen when it did?
Look, potentially. There was some pretty serious weather around the western coast of Australia in the last weeks of May. And so there could absolutely be a weather aspect to this. And that's something that is being looked at.
So we don't quite know yet. But it seems unlikely, even with all the surveillance that's been going on, that these first couple of birds that were identified in the last few days were the very first to have come ashore in Australia with this strain of bird flu. Is that right?
Look, it's a very large coastline. It's still early days. The fact that this has been announced into the public domain, the suspect case was announced very early. And the wording around all of the government communications is really to raise awareness about this disease. So the more people are aware, the more likely we are to be able to detect some other cases that might be going on and really determine what does that mean for Australia.
And what can people do to help with that detection, or what should they be aware of if people are listening who do come into contact with wild birds?
Yeah, look, if they're coming into contact with wild birds and seeing unusual sickness or deaths in wildlife, we're advising them to not touch the birds, so avoid the birds, record the birds, be it take a photograph or even a video, and then report it to the Emergency Animal Disease Hotline.
Here's a question for a non-regular bird observer. How would you know if a bird was sick?
Yeah, so there are a lot of different signs. Obviously, a bird's unable to move, or they might move in an unusual way. If you're not sure, it's best to take a video and report it anyway. And obviously, some birds look sick. They might be lying on their side. Some of the images from international events where this has affected birds are quite dramatic, and it can be quite concerning. But if in doubt, I think the thing is to avoid the bird, record the bird, and report.
And if the virus is here to stay, what does that mean for our wild birds or other animals in Australia? What sort of species could be affected and how?
Given that we know that the virus has impacted a large number of species overseas, including mammals, and we are concerned about a number of different species here being impacted. Now, one of the things that Australia has done in advance and as part of preparing is to try and identify what are the key species that are potentially going to be at highest risk. And that takes into account lots of different factors, including whether or not they've been, similar species have been susceptible to infection and then subsequent sickness and death overseas. So, for example, swans we know have been impacted overseas. So maybe our black swans here, we know a bit more about black swans based on some science.
Yeah, there was a genetic study of black swans, am I right, that identified that they might be very vulnerable to this strain?
Yes, and they've been shown experimentally in some studies many, many years ago to be particularly susceptible. But we haven't done that work on a lot of species, so.
You mentioned mammals, and they've faced terrible effects in other parts of the world. Could H5N1 come for animals like our marsupials?
So marine mammals are really the ones in the firing line in the first instance, because this virus tends to be seen in colonial or aggregating bird species, so probably shorebird species on the coastline. That's where we see marine mammals, where they might be living together or cohabiting. That's where we might see transmission occurring. So we're certainly worried about our marine mammals, specifically fur seals and sea lions. And then the other species that could be potentially at risk in Australia are the ones that scavenge on birds or eat birds. So in Tasmania, which is where I'm based, the Tasmanian devil could scavenge on little penguins, for example, that might be infected. And so we'd be worried about Tasmanian devils from that perspective.
What sort of things might authorities or experts or organisations like yours do to protect some of these species? This virus is spreading from wild animal to wild animal. We can't really vaccinate whole wild populations. So what have you got in the toolkit?
That's a great word. There are lots of things in the toolkit that can be put together. Nothing's going to necessarily completely resolve the issue of this particular virus and the impacts it's going to have on wildlife. We're going to see some really unfortunate outcomes. However, there's been a huge amount done in advance. So the things that are in the toolkit include conservation measures to try and reduce the other threats that some of our critically endangered and threatened and vulnerable species are facing. So invasive species management has been a priority for government funding and for state management authorities to look at how they can reduce the invasive species, say, for example, on islands or specifically in relation to some of those vulnerable bird populations to really remove that threat. And then there might be additional conservation measures that are put into play when the virus enters into particular locations. So there might be areas that are reduced in terms of human disturbance. More human disturbance might impact the bird's ability to fight an infection. And so there might be areas that are closed to people. And then vaccination is something that Australia has looked at for very specific species.
Right.
And there's policy already available to determine whether or not we can vaccinate rare and protected species. Some trials have been underway with specific species. and that that's something in the toolbox.
Does that involve keeping a particular population contained and vaccinating them, or are you literally catching birds in the wild and giving them a shot?
Currently, the policy is really aimed at those species that are being kept in captivity that are vulnerable. They're almost like our insurance populations. And the Australian government has also supported a lot of biosecurity measures for the facilities that are holding those species. And so a lot of those facilities are now bolstering their biosecurity, making sure, you know, they have good enclosures that aren't exposing them to wild birds and so forth, making sure their staff have the right equipment, you know, their boot washes on the way in and so forth.
What can we expect next, Tiggy? What sort of surveillance is underway? Will we be able to monitor the spread of this virus if it does take hold across the country, starting from the southwest?
With the recognition that this has come most likely landed through vagrant birds, birds that infrequently land on Australia's shores from the south, we're obviously conscious of more birds potentially having landed in Western Australia. So raising awareness, ensuring people are aware of their avoid, record, report, and calling the hotline. And the same is actually occurring across the southern coastline. So states like South Australia, Victoria, Tasmania will all be putting out the same alert to their key stakeholders and others that they know will be out walking beaches and so forth to keep a lookout. There's an expert advisory group that's got some of the world renowned experts on avian influenza in wildlife here that live in Australia. And we've been all working together for a very long time. So that's a real benefit to Australia to have had that. Doesn't account for all the scenarios that we had that could potentially have unraveled. And this is one of those scenarios. So obviously we need to work with what we've been given.
As someone who works in this space, Tiggy, how did you hear the news that there was a likely detection on the Australian coastline, and what was your reaction?
So Wildlife Health Australia is actually a key agency that works very closely with the national government. I got an alert direct from government agencies that I might need to attend a meeting. So yeah, very concerning when I got the call and knowing what meeting I'd be going to. And the events happened very quickly. There was a very quick subsequent testing and confirmation with the news. It's really concerning for Australia's wildlife. And we really hope that perhaps it might not, you know, have onward spread.
Tiggy, thank you so much for sharing your lab notes with me.
Yeah, thank you very much, Jonathan, for having me. And let's hope for the best with this one.
Fingers crossed. Fingers and toes and feathers.
But if not, in ensuring the message is out there for people to be aware, I'll say it again, avoid the birds. Please don't touch them, but please report them. And to help you do that, we advise you to record them as well.
That was Dr. Tiggy Grillo from Wildlife Health Australia. And if you do have any questions or you see something, make a recording and want to know what to do with it, the Emergency Animal Disease Hotline is 1-800-675-888. 1-800-675-888. This episode of Lab Notes was made on Gadigal and Ngunnawal and Ngambri country. It was produced by Amy Briggs, and I'm Jonathan Webb. I'll catch you next week.
You've been listening to an ABC podcast. Discover more great ABC podcasts, live radio, and exclusives on the ABC Listen app.